You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
This is Break the Case with Jennifer Coffendaffer. Inside the evidence, behind the headlines, from someone who's been there. Here now, Jennifer Coffendaffer.
Good morning, everyone. We're broadcasting from various places, from somewhere in a little yellow cottage, of course, and from Breaking the Case with Jen Coffendaffer, and I believe she's coming from Florida, and Margaret McLean, whose channel is called It's Crime Media, and they are both here. Going to bring them both in.
Good morning.
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning. How are you, Kevin?
Good morning.
All right. Looks like our mics are working and we're all here. Good morning, everybody.
Good. Good morning. Good morning.
It is a balmy 36 degrees here in Massachusetts.
I know. It's cold.
Which is nice and warm compared to the way it's been.
Yeah, well, that's true. You're right. 36. So
not too many people playing tennis, though.
Well, we play indoors. We switch. I've got tennis tonight, actually. Yeah.
Oh.
All right.
Burr. Freezing.
No, it's not outside. We play indoors.
No, I just meant generally burr. Burr right. Just sitting there.
How did you do in your sectionals?
Oh, my gosh. We kicked butt. We made it to the finals of all of Florida for 4.0.
Oh, my God.
Made it to the finals, which was really exciting. This is actually the second time this year my 8-0 team made it, and this was the tri-level team, meaning it has the 4-5, 4-0, and 3-5. And so we did great. I was thrilled to go undefeated for the sectional event, which was great. I had an amazing partner, though. I'll give her all the credit.
It takes two.
And had a 6-0 bagel. which is hard to do in sectionals because everybody's good.
Wow. That's amazing. And one thing I will say, Kevin, about sectionals, well, Florida in general is it's actually harder. Do you realize like in Florida, the 4-0s, you know, a lot of times like 4 or 5 players play in the 4-0. So it's and Florida is known for that.
I'm not going to deny that.
Yeah. More so than the other parts of the country.
Yeah, Texas, Florida, and California, because there's just so many players. So you have thousands and thousands and thousands of players that play. I mean, in Texas, some of the leagues that we're in just to get to sectionals have 56 teams and take 2 weeks to determine who is going to advance. So you just have thousands and thousands. And so in other regions, it's more watered down. I'm not saying anything negative there because there's great players, but you just don't have the numbers. So you're not going to have the the level. So you make a great point.
That's amazing. Good job.
Okay, well, on to the trial today. So, today
Sorry.
That's okay. We're rooting for you, Ben. So, yesterday was particularly boring, but today I think things will pick up. So, first of all, the jury's not coming in until 10. We're going to have a voir dire this morning, I guess, with the one and only friend who was in the house hours before Anna was allegedly killed on New Year's Eve. They had their one guest over, the friend. What's his name again, Margaret?
Jim Mutlu.
I'll probably never get that name. But
it's like G E M Mutlu. Gem, like a diamond ring gem. Mm-hmm. Mutlu.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, so Jim will be here this morning for a voir dire, and you can talk about that a little bit. We talked about it yesterday on the show, and then I'm also hearing rumors that. And Judge Carroll actually gave us some good information on it. And I'm also hearing rumors that the prosecution actually might arrest their case today, which would be really interesting.
Because then
we don't know. It's just a rumor, so I don't know if it's actually true. But certainly the judge in the trial didn't say that.
Yeah,
so,
there's no indication of that the other day. I wonder where you got the rumor from. That's interesting.
They mentioned it on the news, actually.
Really?
But so again, I don't know how reliable it is.
Well, the news might be. That's interesting. What, Channel 10?
Channel 5.
Okay.
But, they may not be certain either. So we'll see.
That's interesting.
So, and then if Brian is going to testify, would it make sense to have him be the first person to testify for the defense right out of the gate? And then the rest of the witnesses that they might bring in or experts might kind of color in his testimony. So I don't know what you guys think about that.
All right, you go first, Jen.
Well, I think all of us are on pins and needles, if you will. I love that expression, hoping that he testifies. I said from the get-go, I don't know how they can prove their case without him testifying. If he doesn't testify, then they're just laying down. And at this point, maybe they feel they're just going to lay down. But he has to testify or they can't prove their notions. That's the end. That's just the facts, I think.
I think he will.
Sorry, Mark. Let me just jump in real quick. Maui reports that it was said apparently by the judge in court yesterday that they may end today. But go ahead, Margaret.
I missed that. Okay. I watched every second of that trial yesterday. I feel like I did. I missed that. Maybe I didn't hear it. Yes, I feel that Brian is probably thinking, I have nothing to lose. And that's why he would testify. I would feel the same way. I mean, all this blood evidence and DNA doesn't lie, right? So he's got nothing to lose and get up there and say, listen, yeah, I did all these horrible things, but I didn't kill her, and just maintain that over and over and over. And I don't know if it'll work or not, but why not? He has nothing to lose at this point.
Yeah, Maui reports it was hard to hear. I remember that there was a moment where it was hard to hear for about 30 seconds what the judge was saying to the jury. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think also, with Brian, it gives him a chance to get up there. All he has to do is plant that one seed of reasonable doubt. And as I've discussed before, it's a 5-prong test in terms of proving that this was first degree murder. And You know, he can get up there and try to sell a story. It takes one person to believe him, only one.
Well, it's true, or only one to make it a hung jury. Only one who's going to, one or two that's going to say, you know what? Yeah, he did these all these horrible things, but can we prove how Anna was killed? Can we prove whether Brian killed Anna? And if, you know, was there any premeditation? I mean, yes, we can guess that a fight occurred. So, and they may follow the letter of the law and say, you know, there's just not enough evidence here. You know, it's possible. You're right, Jen.
It's possible. By the way, can I digress and talk a little bit about Reed just for 1 second?
Sure.
Did you see the foreman who came out? I'm putting it all over my Twitter because it's so significant. Did you see in an interview, and again, I don't watch what these people say, but fortunately I have a lot of people sending me different things that are said, where he specifically says that the public corruption issue outweighed the fact that Karen Reed hit John O'Keefe. I was just like, drop the mic. Okay, people, exactly, you know, from the beginning, I've said this was a case of jury nullification, just like OJ. Their issue was race in the OJ. That's why it was nullified. And I play often the juror talking about that, of why they voted that way. And in this case, now we know straight from the jury foreman's mouth, there was a nullification issue, and that was public corruption. So,
yes,
you know, I get it. I get it.
You know what?
They were angry about that.
Jen, we were talking about that yesterday, even. I believe the three of us, because remember, we talked about Proctor. Were you here for the when we talked about Proctor? And I really think that those vulgar texts, and even though it was his personal phone, they helped. They really, I think, put them over the top as far as, listen, this is not right, and we're going to take it out against the Commonwealth, no matter what we think, whether she hit him or not. It's jury nullification. I can't agree with you more. And what a shame that, you know, that had to happen.
It's just a shame.
That foreman also had said that his first that he first made up his mind that something was going on when he heard the paramedic or the firefighter testify that John was wearing a coat, and it turned out that he wasn't. So this foreman grew up black in a neighborhood where there were a lot of issues with trusting the police. So he came into this trial with a lot of maybe understandable baggage, but he came in with a lot of baggage that made him kind of conditioned to not want to trust the system.
But he wasn't the only one. I really think it was the Proctor factor here. I really do.
I think that was a big one. But again, Proctor was never proved to be corrupt. Proctor was just proved to, be. And when I say corrupt, this is what I consider corrupt. Corrupt is when you lie, you plant evidence, you otherwise take an investigation away from the facts and from evidence. He didn't do that. He talked horribly about Karen Reed, horribly about Karen Reed. I promise you, that is not generally the term, or not generally what would be necessary to fire somebody. It was easy in this case because what he did through that verdict. So I agree with you. I think what he said and what he did and what they brought out was a huge reason why the verdict was what it was.
Yeah, well, I also think he showed bias, though, which is, you know, forget about the crude. Yeah, there was crude stuff and everything, but I really do believe he showed bias, and that's what bothered me as a prosecutor. I would not have wanted to deal with Proctor, and I know the prosecution didn't want to deal with Proctor. It was like the worst part of the case.
Yeah, and when you say bias, this is my only issue, depending on what we're talking about here. After 16 hours, which I think was the mark that he made some comment that he was pretty convinced it was her, all I'm saying is, as a case agent, being in these shoes before, you know so much after 16 hours, because it's not just 16 hours. It's the work of dozens of people over 16 hours, and it's all filtering through you. So you're aware of a lot of work. So it's just take 16 times 10 times all those days. I don't like when people say, yeah, it was just 16 hours when they don't understand how police work happens. That's a lot of information, a lot of information he would have known by then. And plus, yeah, he was there on scene. There were shattered taillight pieces. You know, it was just, it was dead right there, but, you know, but where she was.
I know, but I still feel that in sending those text messages, he appeared biased. And that was one of the reasons he was fired.
You know, I agree.
And, you know, you may feel that way. You may feel, yes, the girl is guilty. We're going to get her. And but I just, by sending text messages to his high school friends, it was the appearance of bias. And I don't think he should ever work on another murder case again. That's just my opinion. I was upset as a former prosecutor about those actions.
None of the jurors on either trial have mentioned Proctor being a factor. And that's not to say that he wasn't, because only a certain percentage of the jurors have spoken.
Right.
But.
Well, I'm sure that it's part of the police corruption. It's I think that's what they mean. Absolutely. You know, he's
well, sorry to digress. I just had to digress a little bit because
I just feel that he really tainted the case for the Commonwealth. And
I'm not going to say he didn't.
Yeah.
And as we've all talked about here, we have a kind of, we can compare this case we're on here, not only to the Karen Reed case, but also to the Birchmore case. And they all seem to show different aspects and different things. And it's, and which shows that it's complicated. You can't draw from one thing and take a lesson. So you encounter police corruption, and therefore you rush to the conclusion that all police are corrupt. Not the way it works. And so it's good to see. I'm just saying we're seeing in this case here, which seems to be highlighted, police doing their job and doing an effective job and testifying very credibly in this case here. In the Birchmore case, we're possibly seeing where the police dropped the ball because of their, you know, because of the police, the wall of blue there, you know, where Trooper Guarino had the main part of the prosecution there was the messages that the FBI was able to interpret. Now, was the state police and Trooper Guarino unable to decipher those messages for some technical reason that the FBI had better tools to do that? Or was it that Trooper Guarino deliberately overlooked those things because it involved police officers? You know, we don't know, and hopefully someday we'll find out. And then and then compare that to the Karen case, where, again, I don't see police misconduct. Well, not related to planting evidence, but obviously, you know, Michael Proctor's actions were very inappropriate.
I'm not saying anybody planted any evidence. I don't see any.
No, I know.
But what you can do as a defense attorney is you take one thing, like the Proctor texts, right? And then you can plant doubt in the jurors' minds. Well, this guy's corrupted. You plant evidence, blah, 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 you know, so on and so forth. So sometimes it can take one bad apple to ruin an entire case like that.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with that for sure. I mean, that's how it was extrapolated that, if he can talk dirty about a defendant and seem to have his mind made up in 16 hours, which I've already explained that, then that means he could plant evidence, even though he never did.
Right. No, absolutely. I mean, they're going to take that and run with it. Just having tried so many cases and dealing with, a cop that comes across in the stand is not truthful, that's going to blow my case. They just hold the Commonwealth or the police and the prosecution to a higher standard. They want you to dot those I's and cross those T's. So I know that when I was, I spoke with Hank early on about the case, and that was a problem. He knew that. We talked about it. It was a problem. So.
Look, prosecutors want... Go ahead.
Another thing that came up in that case was just that... So I was responding to a tweet on this morning. So, and this is going to come up in a lot of cases. There were certain things that are just not good. We're never going to get a full explanation or even any kind of a satisfying explanation. And one of the ones in the Karen Reed case was who deleted, if they were deleted, or are they just missing the Ring videos? There's no video of Karen coming home at 12:36. There's no video of her pulling into the garage at 12:41. And there's no video of her leaving at 5:45 with Jen and Kerry and Karen showing the ladies her broken taillight. That's missing. Were they deleted? The testimony in the case, nothing was submitted. Nothing ever came from Ring. Trooper Guarino had basically said, we don't know of anybody else accessing the account from any other device. So it's left as a mystery that either side, you know, can kind of to try to take advantage of. And for a healthy defense team, you can try to create reasonable doubt with it.
Yeah.
So that's going to come up. God, Jen, you've probably seen that, and Margaret too, in a lot of cases, right? Yeah. Where it's just things aren't explained, you know?
Certain weird, unexplained things. So remember, defense attorneys, like look at this Brian Walsh case, for example. Tipton has an uphill battle. He's dealing with this guy who dismembered his wife. There's all sorts of blood evidence, tissue and hair and slippers and all that. So he's got an uphill battle here. And they're going to take the slightest thing and run with it. And so far, the police did their job. I mean, there's nothing. He obviously went through all those text messages or everything, Proctor's phone, in advance of this trial in hopes to find something he could run with against the police. But obviously, so far we haven't heard anything. So I doubt he found anything he could run with. You never know, because they haven't put on their case yet. But, you know, the slightest thing, you're going to, oh, this is weird. You know, they threw this trooper threw his phone out. Something's wrong. Or they were targeting Brian Walsh from the get-go. You know, anything that they can possibly hang their hat on, trust me, they will. That's doing their job, defending their client. But I don't. So far, it's an uphill battle in this particular case. So,
and let's face it, this defense attorney, Brian Walsh does not have the dream team that Karen Reed had, and Karen Reed had the dream team. There is no doubt. Alessi could do all that research, and Jackson. I was never impressed with Unetti. I've said that a long time ago, but. But the other two, I just think this defense attorney doesn't hold a candle to them, obviously. And he has way worse facts.
Yeah, he doesn't have much to work with here.
Yeah, agree, for sure.
Yeah, and you know, we also, as Karen also had the big crowd of supporters that grew and grew and grew.
Well, and the biggest thing she had was somebody who for years, for money's sake, was paid. And when I say paid, was made financial gain in completely polluting the jury school, as well as polluting social media and mainstream media on the facts of this case. I mean, he just made it up as he went.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was a huge, huge problem, what they did. And you can look now, it's so interesting to look at, what did she make, $2 million on this, something like this, and then look at where she is at raising money for, you know, her, you know, to me, her quest to get all of these four witnesses somehow to look bad, right? She's raised like $5,000, $9,000 something, some small amount comparatively. So people are either seeing the light or they've just given all they can give. When I saw some of these people who said, yeah, we're not going to eat tonight, but I'm giving to Karen Reed tonight, laughing at them going, okay, you know, at some point, this is just your stupidity. Go ahead, you know, give.
Music by Brian, who did a great job yesterday because he used to work in a DNA lab. So he really filled in a lot of blanks for us. And he comes to us by way of Jen's channel. So Jen, you must know Music by Brian. And he says basically just as guilty as Brian Walsh. But he says that Brian Walsh has a huge fan club online saying that he was framed. So I was unaware of that, but I believe it, you know. Seems like that happens in every case now.
Oh, Brian is such a great person to have you know, watching, and I will say, we might not have the largest followings when it comes to trial followings, because that's really not what our channels do normally. But wow, do we have educated people and people who really look at the evidence. I just love watching comments.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I like the comments as well.
Oh, actually, I'm sorry. I just got to correct for Brian. Brian was referring to another, Zachariah Anderson. So my mistake.
Okay.
Do you guys know that case, Zachariah Anderson?
I don't know that case. But I will say, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if you would have told me that and it was Brian Walsh who had a fan club. I'm not at all surprised. These people are they're nutty. You know, people watch it, you know, Luigi Mangione, his harem. Brian Koberger had a harem.
I don't mean to cut you off, Jen, but I have to cut out. I will be back, but I do have to cut out quickly, but I will be back.
Okay, we'll miss you, Margaret.
Thank you, Margaret.
Yep. How do I take myself off?
Oh, I can take you out.
Okay, thank you.
There we go. Thank you, Margaret. We'll see you when you get back. Tolley says that Melanie believes that Anna's still alive. Well, you know what? We have no Bonnie, right? So maybe it could have. Now, Brian's not arguing that, but he could have attempted to argue that, right, Jen?
Listen, he could have. He's already admitted, for anybody who thinks that Anna is alive, he has agreed that he dismembered her and disposed of her already. He's already pled guilty to that. So that shouldn't even be a conversation with anybody, that she's still alive. I know some people literally love to hold on to hope for these people, yeah, these victims, but that is just well beyond the realm of possibility at this point.
Right. We found, so as we heard yesterday, blood and other DNA evidence on the hatchet that was matched to Anna, and blood on several other sources that was matched to Anna. And I don't remember, maybe you can refresh me, Jen, did the blood that they found in the house, did that also match DNA-wise to Anna?
I don't know if every piece matched to Anna. In other words, there was a lot of specimens on, you know, rags on the floor, on the ceiling, all over the place. And I don't know that every speck matched, but there was a lot that did. Does that help answer that question?
Yes. And this, I'm going to answer one for Starry Night. She says, that's why I don't understand why the blood is such a concern. He said he chopped her up. Well, he didn't actually say that. What we don't know exactly what he said, just what was reported in the papers. And the closest I could find was that we know he pled guilty to disposing of the body. And it said in one of the articles that I read that he did inform the court that he disposed the body in multiple bins to be incinerated. So bins in the plural. So you would have to chop a body up for that. But I don't know if you know, Jen, specifically what he told the judge, any details on what happened.
So specifically, him pleading guilty essentially to the indictment and what right. happened and the bags and everything, that implicitly admits his guilt to dismembering her, because that was the entire point of the disposal method. That was a huge part of the disposal method. So as you pointed out, he admitted to the multiple bags. He admitted to the indictment. And so I don't know that he got into the specificity per se, but he doesn't have to. By admitting to the indictment and pleading guilty to that charge, he implies the dismemberment, because that was the charge. Or right. that was the background of the charge, sorry.
Right. And we don't know for sure if he's going to testify. So the jury doesn't know that he has pled guilty to these things. And that's an argument that the judge has requested both sides submit their opinions on it. So we don't even know what the jury is going to find out, if it prejudices the jury, if, for example, for the jury to find out that he pled guilty on these things. So the state still has to go through step by step with their original plan of showing the jury what happened and what evidence they have to suggest that he dismembered the body.
And I've always said that in my view, they should not show that. That's just my view, that it's more prejudicial than it is probative. They've been given the opportunity. In other words, if the judge would have denied allowing all that evidence in, then that's a different discussion. But because all that evidence is allowed in, let the jury draw their own conclusions of how that leads to proving that he committed a murder.
Right.
So we'll see what the judge ends up doing, though.
So is the voir dire going on now and they're deciding not to show it for some reason? We know there's supposed to be a voir dire and the jury is not supposed to, I think, was coming in at 10 today.
Yeah, I that could be. Like I said, I think voir dires are very unusual unless they're involving experts. So I'm a little confused what exactly is going on here.
Right. Judge Carroll did kind of explain it to us yesterday, why there would be a voir dire on this witness. If there is, you know what, I don't remember exactly what it was. I don't, hopefully she's listening this morning and she can post it. But it had to do with if the defense is going to say there were discrepancies between this witness's statements, I believe.
Oh, in other words, that when they talked to police the first time versus the second, that there were, but that's something that should come at the trial. That doesn't, you know, that's when the defense takes the opportunity to say, listen, they're not reliable or believable because they gave multiple statements. So that's really odd to me. I can't imagine this witness won't be let in.
As a non-lawyer, that's what I thought too, but there was a technical reason why it had to be done this way, and the judge explained it in chat, and I think Margaret expanded on her explanation too, so hopefully she'll come back. It wasn't something that I committed to memory, so I can't really put it in the judge's words.
Huh. Well, and there could be some nuances with Massachusetts law. I've come to find out there's a lot of nuances in Massachusetts law, right. Including that you can say falsehoods before in a courtroom and not be sanctioned. I mean, I've seen so much that could never, ever happen in federal court. It's just every time I watch one of these, I'm like, wow, I feel so blessed that I was in the other court system.
And is this why, so that the witnesses that Karen is suing had petitioned to get the trial moved to federal court, the civil trial, and it has been?
Oh, yeah, it has been. And thank God that told me the caliber of attorneys that they're dealing with. In other words, just to think about that, it's so brilliant. Right. To move into federal court, because there's not going to be any of these shenanigans allowed. I mean, I expect that this case will be dismissed. That's my expectation. It's that it's not even going to make it anywhere. Mm-hmm. When I say that, I'm talking about the suit against the witnesses in this case, the suit against the innocent witnesses that came forward that were in that house. I expect it to be thrown out. And I don't even, you know, I still can't believe that they did this to them. But I'm hoping it's thrown out. I think it will be thrown out. If it would have stayed local, oh my gosh, who knows what would have happened.
Right. And it has no chance of winning in her. And I think she, obviously her lawyers know that the purpose is more just trying to influence public opinion. So Western Mass Mark, welcome. I don't recognize the name, so thank you for joining us. Says that, and there are a lot of similarities between this Brian Walsh case and Adam Montgomery, who Judge Carroll wrote a book on. So he says Adam Montgomery pled similar to things prior to this, to his trial. I don't believe the jury was allowed to know that. So yeah, we should know that. I mean, hopefully the judge knows that.
I did know that. I brought that up.
Was that true?
Yes. I brought that up in my tweets about all of this. But listen, this is the same Adam Montgomery ploy to plead to everything except, oh yeah, I didn't murder my daughter. I did everything else to her, but I didn't murder her. And it didn't work then. and I don't think it's going to work now. So yes, I'm glad he reiterated that, that this has been, you know, tried before and in Massachusetts, in a Massachusetts case. So I don't think, like I said, that it should be allowed. It's too prejudicial, and they've been allowed to see the evidence anyway.
Right, right. So that's why the state has to painstakingly go through. For people in the public, they're like, why do they have to go through all this? But they still have to lay that down for the jury. And
quite frankly, the prosecution wants to do that, Kevin. The prosecution wants to show all this gruesome evidence and the hatchet. And hopefully, like I said, they still haven't brought Anna alive yet. But the gruesomeness of what he did to her and those tools that were used, I mean, gosh, you know, just for a lot of people to imagine that have never, ever thought of such a thing, it's pretty gruesome.
Jen, since we have some time, something I've wanted to ask you since you brought it up, I think last week, was your work for the FBI on looking for weapons of mass destruction within the borders of the United States. I'd love to hear more about that. Your phone connection's been a little bit off today, but it's getting a little bit better, I think. So maybe if you have anything you could tell us. So, for instance, was there any moment where you really felt nervous, like the hair on the back of your neck was going up, like, oh, my God, something could happen here? You know, do you have any stories on that particular work? Or maybe you can't even talk about it. I don't know. But
well, a couple of things. First of all, everything in that unit is protected with clearance. In other words, no, not only do you need to have the top secret clearance to hear about it, you also need to have the need to know. So any specifics I can't say, but obviously we worked with flaps and seals, and just generally it's a situation where anytime you're doing anything, I'll say it this way, covertly, you're always got a little bit of a pucker factor, right? It's so different than law enforcement. Working foreign counterintelligence, because when you're working law enforcement, you're the one, you know, all decked out in raid gear, getting ready to crash in and make an arrest or serve a warrant, right? It's so different. In this, you're hoping not to be seen, not to get caught, not for anybody to know. So it's a, you know, it's a very covert type of work that the Bureau does. And that nobody really can ever talk about. So I can leave it at that, that, yeah, to me, anytime we did a mission, I'm always I never was pucker factored or seldom. You're pucker factored for about a minute and then your training kicks in. It's a lot less scary to do a raid at a home as a SWAT operator than it is to do a covert mission in a foreign counterintelligence matter.
Were there any moments, and again, I know you can't be in specifics, where you really felt worried in the sense that you might not be there in time?
Sure.
You know, something was going to happen in terms of a weapon of mass destruction. Those could be obviously a dirty bomb. It could be biological. So I know you can't say anything specific, but were there moments where you're like, damn, this is close. If only the public knew. And maybe it's good that the public doesn't know, but were there any moments where you just felt really like, wow?
I think it's always good for the public not to know, because, you know, it would just cause panic and, you know, deep concern and all of that, which I do get, but that doesn't help anything, right? It doesn't help anything.
Right.
So there are just, you know, unfortunately has to be some trust. And I know people are going to probably say trust. We don't trust the government, but there has to be some trust that the government, because they do this every day and work these sort of platforms every day, know what they're doing, and their sole mission is to protect the citizenry. I will also say, you know, I work nuclear counterproliferation. That was my area of work and expertise, if you will. So I was not in, you know, the radiological unit. Or some of these other units that existed that had more explosive type, as you said, implications in the work. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to make that clear too. For us, not getting to something or, you know, being discovered or something like that would just more mean losing information from a technological standpoint.
I guess to me, what had always seemed the most likely thing for an actual really widespread kind of attack would be something involving biological. And especially nowadays where this is probably even more advanced now, especially with AI, but where you could tinker with a virus or tinker with a bacteria and create something that would really do, you know, hurt or harm a lot of people. But obviously you may not have been on those units, it sounds like, and you wouldn't be able to talk about it if you could. But so actually, because you weren't on those units, is that something that you think is, can you talk about that? Is that something that you think is worth worrying about? And fortunately that there are people out there in the government focusing on it, in law enforcement?
Oh, well, certainly it's worth worrying about and being as educated as you can about. On my Twitter page, anytime something comes up where scientists or individuals are arrested for those crimes, which just happened, I just did kind of an expose on one, on two scientists, I believe, as I recall, they were in Michigan. I think it was the University of Michigan. And particularly, that was a biological type warfare that focused on, as I recall, agriculture aspect. And so anytime I find a story, and I'm always looking that I can bring this to the public's attention that obviously has been declassified, or at least they want the public to know, so they're allowed, you know, the information is allowed out to a degree, I always feature that on my Twitter. And I look for those stories because I want to highlight for people what's really happening, and that they, you know, generally, hopefully people are aware. And the reason I say that is because I think it's so important for people to be aware of what's going on in their surroundings when you see weird things or people acting oddly. I think where people are going to see that more is at airports and at huge sporting events, and especially around Christmas, Macy's parade. And the things you can look for are more brick and mortar, as you and I talk about. Backpacks that are abandoned, somebody doing something odd, like throwing something in the trash, you know, a big thing, and then running away, or communications that they see between one person that might be trying to communicate with somebody else across the street in an odd or a surreptitious manner. All of those things, the public is so critical. You know, the New Orleans situation, there was a lot of you know, clues that went on like that in that case. And so it's really, the Bureau is dependent on the public for recognizing those types of things, because those are weapons of mass destruction, bombs, biological warfare, certainly. But I mean, to me, the more common are bombs that are used in places where there's a mass gathering.
The last time I traveled, I was at Logan Airport. This was about 2 years ago, flying down to North Carolina, and I was at Logan Airport in Boston and in a crowded terminal, and I went in to use the bathroom. And when I came out of the stall, there was a guy who was a youngish black guy who was in the process of putting on one of those ski masks that covers your whole face. And it was not a cold day. It was November, but it was not a cold day. And I was like, what do I do here? You know, do I report this? And so, you know, I didn't really know what to do. So what I decided to do was just kind of go and sit where I could watch the bathroom, and also where I eyed where the nearest security person was. So if I saw something that made me more suspicious, that I would go to that security person. But I think we lost Jen. But I never reported it to anybody, and nothing ever happened. So I don't know why he was putting on that mask. Oh, we got her back.
Sorry about that. I listened to what you said. So what happened with the ski mask guy?
Nothing happened. So, you know, nothing. I never heard of anything happening. So I would have felt bad, I guess, if I didn't report it and then something did happen. But I just wasn't sure. So I just kind of stayed in a place where I could watch the bathroom and kind of watch things. And I eyed the nearest security person who was actually near one of the terminals. My sense was if I went to that person, they were just going to think I was crazy. I guess that's why I didn't really do it. But,
so I would have reported it. I would have just gone to a security person in that terminal And I would have said, listen, this might be nothing, but it's kind of odd considering the time of year and he's masking his whole face. So personally, that's something I would report.
Want to break the case with Jennifer Coffendaffer even more? Then press subscribe right now and join Jen on YouTube. Just search Break the Case with Jennifer Coffendaffer now.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap. Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.